This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. Qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَحَاطَ بِالنَّاسِ وَقَالَ تَعَالَى أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ. So to continue with our series on Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari's Hikam, the Book of Wisdoms, we today are on page 207, which is his wisdom number 214. As we've said before, every now and then we get one that's slightly more profound. They're all profound, actually, just slightly a bit more complicated, which requires a bit of experience to understand it, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that experience. What this is about is, this is the relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His servants. Allah has a relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. But so firstly, if we're listening to this and we're believers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to believe, which means that He's allowed us to recognize Him and to believe in Him and to acknowledge Him. That's a great thing. That is a big, extremely valuable asset there and there, because that's our ticket to the afterlife, to prosperity in the afterlife. Thereafter that, it doesn't stop there. There's a continuation of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever present, and He is there in all of His glory, as He always is. But the more we make an effort, like Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who make an effort for us in our path, then we will open up our paths to them. Which essentially means that the more we make an effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal Himself more and more to us, to such a degree that we can then start thinking about Him and almost like feeling like we're in His presence all the time, even though we will never physically see Him in this world. That's only something for the hereafter, where we will get a glimpse of Him and have the vision of Him. But otherwise, in this world, that can never happen. That's impossible. That doesn't happen in this world. But the more we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because anybody who knows more about Allah, then clearly things become easier, because that's reality. Allah is reality. That means people start understanding the real nature of this world. The more we know about Allah and the more we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the world will dim that much more. That means the world will stop bothering us that much more. Things can only bother you if you consider them important. This isn't to say that the world is not important. It is where we plant everything. Without the world, we couldn't go to paradise according to the system Allah has laid out. But sometimes there's things that are important, but they're just the need. They're not the enjoyment. They're not there. It's not there for the enjoyment. It's just the need now. So we use them, we maintain it, but the real thing we're looking at is for something greater. So initially, we're given something, we get really excited by that thing, and then we upgrade onto the next thing. Now, that earlier version or earlier object or whatever it is, we need it, we still need it to get to the second, but the second one gives us more enjoyment. That's really what we're looking for. It's that kind of move. It's just most people are stuck at this first level of the dunya, of things in this world. They're just too indulgent in them. And that's what veils us from what is supposed to lie beyond that. Except for those who are friends of Allah, who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've gone beyond. So for them, they're in this world, they could be businessmen, they could be wealthy people, they could be rulers, they could be whoever. But they've got a higher aim. They're already somewhere else, even though they're with us. Right. So what he says in this one, look at this, he says, قُرْبُكَ مِنْهُ أن تكون مشاهدا لقربه وإلا فمن أين أنت ووجود قربه. Your nearness to Him. So what is nearness to Allah? He's describing what is considered nearness to Allah. He's trying to explain the nature of being near to Allah. What exactly does that mean? Your nearness to Him is that you contemplate His nearness. Nearness can't be physical nearness. That doesn't apply to Allah. Nearness to Him is that you contemplate His nearness, that you're able to think of His nearness. You're able to understand it. You're able to feel it, sense it, experience it. That's what it means to be near to Allah. There's lots of people nowadays, especially with online communication, you've never seen them, but you can be very, very close to them. But you've never seen one another. They're totally on the other end of the world, and yet you have a relationship. Okay, there at least you know it's another tangible individual. You can hear them sometimes or whatever. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to just go by what? Everything that you see of His work, of His signs. Then he says, otherwise, what comparison is there between you and the existence of His nearness? That's not very easy to understand by just those words. But essentially, that's what he's saying, that in reality, physically, there can't be any closeness, physically speaking. The nearness is about what you perceive of His nearness. Allah does things for you. You do things for Allah. That love generates. Let's just say you're walking down the road and you see children going to school. And subhanAllah, in your heart, this feeling, this sense, this thought passes that may Allah preserve and protect all of these children. They're so innocent right now, but they're going to go into the world afterwards. And in the world, there's all sorts of things that happen to people. May Allah preserve these children. You don't know these children, but you've had a good thought because they are the creation of Allah. And you've remembered Allah, and you've made a good dua for them. They don't know you've made dua for them, and you've just passed on. That is remembering Allah. That's just a simple instance of that. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Like, why should I pray for them? And they're not my children. They're not anybody I know necessarily. There's some girls and boys in the park. It's their lunch break. You make dua for them. May Allah preserve them and protect them. Protect their chastity. Protect them from the fitnas and evil of this world. You see somebody else, homeless person, and you just make a dua for them if you can't help them yourself. A dua for someone is a sadaqah. We have, apparently, we have 200 and something bones, but 360 limbs. Which is a really interesting idea. It's in the hadith as well, 360 limbs. And we're supposed to offer a deed, a sadaqah, for every limb, every day. 360 sadaqah, 360 charity. How do you do that? You know. And charity is not just with money, not just with means. It's by assisting someone. It's by helping somebody to fill up water, fill up their petrol. It's smiling at somebody when you see them, when you meet them for the first time. That's a sadaqah. That's one of the sadaqat of the day. Saying salam and greeting someone, just making somebody feel good. Today we were on the motorway and there was somebody. We could have gone ahead, but we just kind of slowed down and somebody else went. And then he blinked his lights at us. Hardly made a difference in terms of actual physical time. But mashallah, he must be happy to have anybody for them to go and press that button to thank you. That means they're happy. You've just made somebody happy. That's a sadaqah, subhanAllah, a free sadaqah. I mean, don't just stop there and let everybody then go for the next hour and be stuck. That's not the point, but you can if you want to. But then some of these people, they let everybody go and they don't understand that they're bothering the people behind them. So it's like, okay, these guys are in a rush, but not the guys behind me. I know all of them. It's like, come on, man. You know, like one guy go, not 10 guys go. So, I mean, within reason. But all of this is a sadaqah, right? All of the, just... You know, the world, there's so much misery going on, and then the pandemic, it's red, it's ugly head again, and so on. Just making somebody happy some way or the other, I think it brings so much happiness, doesn't it? It just brings so much happiness. SubhanAllah. Just spreading happiness. Muslim, non-Muslim, spread some happiness. And we do that for the sake of Allah, because they're Allah's people. This is Allah's creation, and we get reward from Allah. And that's how much closer, because we've thought of Allah. If we do it for the sake of Allah, we've thought of Allah all of those times. That means that's remembrance of Allah all of those times. Now, I could have let that guy go and not thought about Allah, then it's wasted. You do it for the sake of Allah, you got reward from Allah as well, and he's going to thank you. That guy is going to thank you. This is now understanding the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. The reality is that once you've understood that all of creation is only here, everything created is only here because Allah allows it to be here. What we have to, that's where this has to start from. We have to understand that it's Allah who brings everything into existence and then allows it to be in existence. So just like us, okay, our creation, we live for 70, 80, 90 years, and we live through breathing and through nourishment, food and drink. Now there's going to be buildings, trees, other animals that will outlive us. They live for, you know, many, many centuries sometimes. But again, they have their own way of sustaining themselves. What is the oldest thing in this world? You know, maybe a few thousand. You know, the pyramids are 3,300 years. They all live because Allah lets them live. Right? There were many other pyramids, but they were broken down. Allah has let them live for whatever reason. That's their life. But it's all going to be, it's still finite. Eventually, that's going to end as well. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind everything. And Allah is one. There's nobody that helps him and assists him, and nor does he need anybody to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Now once we've understood for sure, this is something that we have to make very clear in our mind, that everything that's created, space, place, time, everything is literally just there because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be there, and Allah is the only one who's always there, who's always going to be there, and who allows everything to be there. So essentially everything is Allah in the sense that everything is created by Allah and everything exists because of Allah. That's why there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said that people, the son of Adam, they curse time. Time is bad, times are bad. I try to avoid using that because it's not the time which is bad, it's the people doing bad. The time doesn't do it. It's not the time that creates, that provides those things. So he says that people, they curse the time, whereas I am the time. In my possession, in my power is the night and day. I am the one, because what is time for us? What is time? Time is the movement of night and day. That's how we know time. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days that make up months and years and so on. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the one. يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does that. So are we cursing Allah? Are we saying bad things and insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we want to just blame something, which is time? That just goes to show that he's saying that I am in control of everything. This hadith just shows that Allah is in control of everything, including time. And we are in time. Time is what moves us. What else is the purpose of night and day coming if it's not just to move on? Because with every night and day there's a physical change in us that makes us older and takes us towards our end. When you understand that and you see how involved, this is the point, once you've contemplated that and we've understood how involved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with everything, Allah is not the dormant Lord. You've got people in the world who believe that God created everything and then he took a step back and he just set the whole system in place where it works on its own now, like the clock just works on its own. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't need to take a rest. It's like, why are you trying to have mercy on someone that doesn't need your mercy? It's misplaced. Why are you feeling sorry for it? Just because we can't do so many multitasks at once. Allah can. For him, this is لا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. So once we get that understanding, then we will have to understand that Allah is very close to everything. Allah is really close to everything. Allah qareeb min kulli shay. Muhitun bi kulli shay. He encompasses everything. He knows everything. He understands everything. There's nothing that misses him from anything. And there is nobody else like him, and there's nothing else like him. Laysa kamithlihi shay. He's the only one who's like that. He can't be divorced from anything. Where this should lead us to, if Allah assists us in this regard. Allah has to assist us and give us that upgrade. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up their insight for, then they will realize that I'm really nothing. Then humility comes in. Then anything that we do, once we gain humility by realizing that look, everything I have or do or whatever is from Allah, without Him I would be nothing, where would you show off then? Where would the arrogance go? There's no room for arrogance. There's no room for thinking yourself superior to anything else, because the only reason I'm superior, if I am, is because Allah has given me that. So let me thank Him, because He could just change it in no time. So a person will really understand that it's Allah who is encompassing of everything. Whoever doesn't have this, he doesn't see anything, he then thinks, he doesn't think Allah is close. He can't even understand where Allah is, or what Allah is, or how Allah is involved. See the big contrast? Can't even understand, because you don't even think about Allah. It's almost like you're using an Apple phone without realizing, hey, that's an Apple phone. Like, you know, tell a guy who likes his Apple. Right? Like, that's impossible. Like, I've got an Apple phone every day, I've got an Apple phone. Can you see how ungrateful that is, that we are swimming in the bounties of Allah, in the creation of Allah? We are the creation of Allah and we don't ever think of Him. Subhanallah, we live in a world where we use products, but we hate the people who made those products because of the conspiracy theories or because they're capitalists. You use the Pfizer vaccine, but you don't like the guy who's at the top of Pfizer because of whatever conspiracy. We live in that kind of world, don't we? We use products, but then we'll be criticizing the same companies. Then what we do is we do the same for Allah. Well, we may not criticize Him, but we don't recognize Him. It's like, who cares? We just want the product. We just want His creation. We don't care about Allah. We don't care about the Maker. That's what Allah doesn't like that, though. Okay, with all the other products, they've got your money, they don't care less. The football teams, they want your support, they don't care less. If the manager saw you on the street, he won't even care about you. And yet inside, you're full of love. You're willing to fight others. But one of those guys who play on this team that you really love so much in absentia, they see you, they're like, I don't know what they would say to you. And yet you love them, you're willing to sacrifice yourself, you're willing to go into arguments. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not there. Whereas He is like, I will give you. You just come to me walking, I'll come to you running. He's willing to give you independently to everyone. A great player that everybody loves. He's there, everybody's trying to get to him. I mean, how many people is going to be dealing with? If he is even one who wants to meet with people, who has a time to meet with people. That's His time for meeting. With Allah, He's always available. I mean, He's created us. We don't give anything back to Allah. He's given everything to us for free. Allah wants to be recognized, and that's what it is. Like, just recognize me. That's all I want from you. If you don't, it's to your own detriment, though. It's not like He's going to grow or get any better by doing this. Companies grow, the more people buy, the more they make money, and the more they say money for innovation. So the head of Pfizer is asking, you're going to make this many billion, 35 billion or 350, I can't remember what that amount is. Don't you feel that's too much money? So the response is, how much money did we save the people? The guy didn't push him. Okay, make 1 billion. Why so much when there's everybody suffering? I'm not going to complain about it. But I'm saying with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't even try to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What have I got against Pfizer? Nothing. I'm just saying, it's just an observation of the world that we live in. That's what it is. I find it really weird that we use products and we criticize them. Microsoft Word, I'm criticizing Bill Gates. Okay, fine. I'm not saying who's right or wrong, but what a world we're living in. We can't have that attitude with Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ
The people who are believers, they're ardent lovers of Allah. We just can't equate the two things. Allah's relationship is different, and that's what He's trying to tell us here. So anybody who doesn't have this insight, they're just not going to understand that. They're going to think Allah is far. They're not even going to understand where Allah is or how Allah can be, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be sought. Then, if they make an effort and Allah wants to open it up and bring them close, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the rays of that insight to start. And then he starts seeing Allah closer than ever before. And then he sees that, oh, actually, you know what? Allah is the one in control of everything. He'll just start seeing the way the things work, and he'll see that, really, I have to leave it to Allah. I can only ask Allah. I can ask others in the means, but it's only Allah that's going to change somebody's mind, make it easier, make it more difficult, facilitate it, decide whether it's even good for me or bad for me. And when you have that, then it just life becomes easier because you're now rising above the constraints of the world to understand Allah, that He is the one He'll give you whenever He wants. And it becomes easier, the life becomes easier at that time. La ilaha illallah. Once, Shaykh Abul Hassan al-Shadhili, one of our great awliya, his teacher was listening and he was making a dua. He said, Allahumma ghfir li yawma liqa'ik. Oh Allah, forgive me the day of our meeting, the day I will meet you, forgive me on that day, meaning probably in the hereafter. The Shaykh said to him, He's already closer to you than your night and day. What do you mean when you meet Him? You already should be meeting Him. However, when this darkness is there between you and Allah, between a person and Allah, that's just going to beget more darkness. So that deprives people of a feeling of familiarity with Allah, a relationship with Allah, a congeniality with Allah. Thing is too far. How can I get to Him? It's amazing. There's some people, you feel that they're too far, they're too above, they're too prominent or whatever to even... And then one day you meet them and subhanAllah, it's just so easy and you're like, they're so warm. Allah is warmer than that. Allah is more accepting than that. He just wants us to make that effort. Then you think, man, I should have made an effort earlier. Why did I wait so long? I just had a perception. This is what it is. Allah is lost for us in some wrong misconception and wrong perception. Because things have veiled us. We're too busy maybe. That's why he said He's closer to you than your night and day. Even for the oppressed, even for the person who doesn't understand, one day it's all going to become clear, but it's going to be too late. You need to benefit from it in this world before we die. La ilaha illallah. Allah says in Surah Maryam, verse 38, أسمع بهم وأبصر يوم يأتوننا لكن الظالمون اليوم في ضلال مبين. The oppressors on that day, they're going to be in open manifest deviance because they just did not recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. So the meaning of your closeness to Allah, finally to explain this, the meaning of your closeness to Allah is that you can sense that closeness. You observe that closeness. You can feel that closeness now. And that closeness, what is that closeness exactly? How do you understand you're close to Allah? Or Allah's closeness? You understand it as Allah being in charge and in control of everything. So when you start thinking that, okay, I want to do this thing and say, Allah will make it easy for me. You've started understanding that Allah is in control of everything. When everything we return back to Allah, the moment you sit in your car, you press that button and the car is going to start. But you get that doubt, like, you know, sometimes there's that little lurch in the cold especially. Is it going to start or not? And you just think, if Allah didn't want it to start, it wouldn't start. You're driving and then, you know, when you go around the roundabout, you have to like really hold on to, you turn the wheel and then you hold on to it. When you let go, it just car goes straight again, doesn't it? Now imagine the power just came out of your hands and you had to let go, I mean, what would happen? So you think, subhanAllah, it's Allah endowing me with that power, even at this point. It's just about finding excuses to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He wants to be remembered. And that's what He loves. That's essentially what He means by closeness of Allah. That's what He says. Closeness of Allah just means that you recognize that Allah is in control of everything, and you're going to have to go through Him for everything. The only way you can do that is if the whole worldly objectives in front of you, and the worldly means dim. They're still there, but the main efficacy is in Allah's hands now. And it's not difficult, to be honest. That's why Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَحَاطَ بِالنَّاسِ. And when we told you that your Lord is encompassing of all people, He is completely encompassing of all, like He is completely encompassing in every sense. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Isn't it sufficient, essentially? I mean, isn't it sufficient knowledge for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness to everything? So this is what Allah says in the Quran. Allah says, it's just belief in this will give us His ma'rifah, that Allah is a witness to everything. If you don't do that and you think you have some control, that you can make things happen by your own, then Allah is too far from you. You've not realized that Allah. There's no other way. You can't believe Allah is close and yet you think you can do something. You just haven't got it. You don't understand who's in control here. Not realized it. As long as we're stuck in the middle of all of that, فَأَنْتَ بَعِيدٌ مِّنْ عَالَمِ الْأَرْوَاحِ. You're too far from the abode of the souls. You've not understood. That's why there's a poem. He says, وَمِنْ عَجَبٍ أَنِّي أَحِنُّ إِلَيْهِمْ وَأُسْأَلُ شَوْقًا عَنْهُمْ وَهُمْ مَعِي. There's people, he says, who are with me, but I am constantly feeling a longing for them. I get asked about them, but and yet they're with me. So I'm constantly asking about them, yet they're with me. So it's like I've not recognized that they're here and I'm asking about them. وَتَبْكِيهُمْ عَيْنِي وَهُمْ بِسَوَادِهَا. My eyes are crying for them, yet they are in the pupils of my eyes. So they're so close to me. وَيَشْكُنْ نَوَى قَلْبِي وَهُمْ بَيْنَ أَضْلُعِي. And he carries on in that vein. So glorified is he who has left people to be distant, despite the fact that he's so close to them. He's not allowed them to feel the closeness. And there's others who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought close. They were not far to start off with anyway, because Allah is always close. He's in charge of everything. So Sheikh Zarruq, he says that closeness, you know, when we talk about closeness, the concept of closeness is of three types. So which one of them applies to Allah? We've already understood it, that it's about Him being in charge of everything. That's the closeness. القرب في الجملة على ثلاثة أوجه. He says there are three types of closeness. One is قرب الكرامة. This is the closeness of honor. One, which is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows a servant to be close to Him so that he can start witnessing how close Allah is. Our closeness to Allah is just that we can witness how Allah is so close to everything and so involved in everything. And that is actually called karamat. That is an honor that can only be given to us as an honor. Once we recognize that, it can only be an honor, so thank Allah for it. The beauty of this is that once you start understanding that it's Allah, that in itself, subhanAllah, that in itself is a door to wilayat, of closeness. And when that happens, if Allah does allow us to think that way, that means He's going to start looking after us. Because that's what He promises the people that He looks after. So this is essentially the first part of it. Number two is qurbul ihata, the second type of closeness. So this was from a human's perspective, right? Second type of the closeness is, I'm so close to this in the sense that I'm in full control of it. I've encompassed it. I am in charge of it. I control it. That's another type of closeness. This is obviously Allah's closeness to His servant. That's what it means. So I'm close to Him in one way, and He's close to me in His way. The third type of closeness is a physical distance of closeness. Like right now, we're sitting close together, right? We're all from different families, but we're sitting close together. This is qurbul munasabah wal masafa. Another thing that we share is we're both human beings. A third thing we share is we're all male here, right? Another thing we share is we're all Muslims. We're all believers. So that's munasabat. That's a congeniality, some kind of harmony that we have. And masafat, and we're physically close as well. That can never be applied to Allah. Because we don't share with Allah in anything. Allah's existence, His entity, His essence, totally different. We share being humans, ethnicity maybe, Muslims, humans, being in London, being close. But with Allah, what do you? You can't share that. He is beyond. That's another, it's another essence. So that can't be the thing. So your closeness to Allah is an absolute honor that you start recognizing and observing and seeing that He is encompassing and so close to everything that is going on around you. That's essentially what this wisdom means. Otherwise, he's saying, how can you be close to Allah? Meaning you can't be close to Him in that third sense. There's no comparison to be close. So let me now read it again, and this will hopefully now make sense, inshallah. Your nearness to Him is that you start contemplating His nearness and His encompassing of everything. Otherwise, what comparison is there between you and the existence of His nearness? Sheikh Abdullah Gangohi says, it is a characteristic of the ego to liken others to itself. We do this all the time. We always judge others by the way we think we should be doing things. And if you've got a real problem with that, then you'll really find it. There's some people, they are so, what's the word, idealistic, that they find it, this world, miserable. Because everything needs to be a certain way. Keep coming, like, come on, please, understand. It can't be like that. That idealism doesn't work. We're not living in a designer world, you know. Only Allah can be idealistic. You can't be idealistic. And these people suffer because they want their families to be a certain way. They want their children to. They want their spouse to be a certain way. And they can't be that way because we're all defective. And then they just suffer, and then they get angry at every small thing. Allah save us from that. Right? So, but it is a characteristic of the ego to liken others to itself. To a degree, this will be appropriate. I mean, it's not all bad. You know, we do need to, that's the way we know others, because we know ourselves, so we know other human beings. Like, we know our weaknesses, so hopefully we know other people's weaknesses. Since all are of the same species. But can you apply that to Allah? I know myself, so I know Allah. Allah is totally different. Right? Man, however, on account of his ignorance and stupidity, sometimes thinks Allah Most High as he thinks of himself in some affairs. Some ignoramuses believe that by their attention towards Allah, they have elevated and adorned the religion, or some persons who had previously aided the religion by acts of virtue, labor under the delusion that if they abstain from this service or they die, the religion of Allah will suffer a setback. Like, if I didn't do this, who would have done it? Allahu Akbar. Can you see what I mean? That when you start realizing that it's actually Allah who has put it all together and let me be there, all that humility is there then. All that arrogance goes. Anybody who thinks that, if I didn't do this, who would have done it? Like, the religion would have been, you know, maybe, if you hadn't done it, maybe. But Allah could have had somebody else do it because He allowed us to do it. And there's some people who take this to the extreme. There's some people who sit on boards and committees and management, positions. And they started when they were 30 years old. And they developed this institution, whether there's a masjid or a company or whatever. They were only 30 when they started. But they don't even trust their own children. They're now 60 and 70. But they're not willing to hand over because they just don't trust, because it was them. Of course, if their children are good for nothing, understandable, but why did you make them good for nothing then? Like, if you can't trust your children, that means your tarbiyat wasn't good. Your nurturing wasn't good. You messed them up. So that's why you can't hand them over. Right? Why else is it? No, he's a good for nothing. Well, why did you make him good for nothing? It just comes back on ourselves. May Allah bless our children. May Allah bless us to bring up our children in the best way. So that's why he's saying that you should never think that. Such delusions are clearly refuted by the Shaykh. So Shaykh Abdullah has only explained one aspect of this. I've explained the aphorism in that way. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to recognize His works, recognize His doings in this world. We wouldn't be here right now if Allah didn't want us to be here. Just thinking that is part of that. Next time you go past somebody and you see somebody in a vulnerable state or whatever, or even not in a vulnerable state, oh Allah, give this person guidance. You owe them nothing. You're just making a dua. And duas are very powerful because you've just remembered Allah. You see your boss at work, he's a non-Muslim maybe, may Allah bless. May Allah bless with iman. May Allah bless everybody in this world with iman.
اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا معدن الجود والكرم يا أكرم الأكرمين ويا خير المسؤولين ويا خير المعطين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أكرمنا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من ينفعنا حبه عندك يا الله we ask you for your special mercies for your special forgiveness for your blessings to descend upon us oh Allah you have given us so much more than so many others in this world oh Allah we ask you for shukr and for remembrance we ask you for gratitude oh Allah We know that you are ever appreciative, O Allah. We know that you will not waste even a minor deed. O Allah, we do not have much to show. But O Allah, we ask that you accept whatever little that we have been able to show or that you have given us the ability to do. O Allah, the ulama tell us that if we have been allowed to raise our hands, then it means that you want to give us something. O Allah, if you've allowed us to sit here today in this masjid, O Allah, and try to understand what your closeness is all about. Then, O Allah, grant us your closeness. O Allah, grant us your closeness. O Allah, you are close. But, O Allah, allow us to understand that you are close. O Allah, allow all the veils. O Allah, allow all the distractions, all the obstacles, all the distractions to be removed so that, O Allah, we can understand and we can have ardent love for you. O Allah, do not allow us to love other things. O Allah, allow us to love other things for your sake, after loving you. O Allah, grant us the ability to think of you many times throughout the day, constantly, in a standing form, in a sitting form, and while lying down. O Allah, allow us to feel your presence, to feel and sense your craftsmanship. O Allah, your designs of this world, your everything that you have done in this world, O Allah, allow us to observe it, to see it, to feel it, to sense it, and to experience it. O Allah, do not allow us to be heedless even for a moment. O Allah, even though we're in a distracting position maybe sometimes among people, allow us to be constantly with you. O Allah, it may be that our hands and our body may be occupied in doing a worldly act, but allow our hearts to be constantly in your presence. O Allah, assist us. O Allah, bless all of those who facilitate these gatherings. And O Allah, grant shifa and a cure to all of those who are currently suffering. O Allah, and protect the rest of us from the pandemic and from all other evil diseases and from all the fitan and the other problems that are out there and the other challenges. Allow us to rise to them. O Allah, protect us and grant us complete forgiveness. Cleanse our hearts, and give us a life of taqwa. O Allah, we have permissible needs. We have challenges in this world. We have permissible needs and responsibilities. O Allah, make it easy for us to fulfill them. Everything is in your control. Everything is in your hands.
Oh Allah, we ask you for well-being and afiyat. And oh Allah, allow us to thank you for the afiyat. You've given us so much more than so many others in this world. Oh Allah, do not make this a source of fitna for us. Do not allow us to use it in your disobedience. Oh Allah, protect us and our children and our progenies until the day of judgment. Oh Allah, protect our religious institutions and oh Allah, allow them to prosper. Oh Allah, accept from us. Oh Allah, accept from us. Oh Allah, accept from us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if you're finding this useful, you know, as they say, do that like button and subscribe button and forward it on to others. Jazakallah khair and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.